the seminary where my son was at the Alliance Theological Seminary. They were actually living next door to one another. And they were very gracious, hospitality, treated us to dinner, and we talk about that. What is it that caused them to live a very comfortable life to go back to Cambodia? It is that calling from the Lord. So maybe God will, you know, strike into our hearts as well to say maybe one day we need to leave our comfort zone to fulfill that calling. There's a prayer list in the back, and this morning we want to remember Reverend Charles Fox. Pastor Fox had a lot of difficulty with health issues, and he's been struggling with this for many years. So remember him. It's not easy to pastor a church when you have health issues. The other one person we want to pray for this morning is Ida Wang. So every Sunday we come in here, we see these flowers beautifully decorated. She has a team, and Jin Lai is part of that team and others. Her sister passed away yesterday. So remember Ida. She has gone through quite a few challenges with death in the family. And so uplift her during this time. Okay. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that at this time of the season, you are the God who brings peace. For your angels came out and proclaimed about the joy, about the peace that comes to us among mankind. And so, Lord, we especially remember Ida Wang at this time and her family as they mourn the loss of a sister, a loved one, a relative. Lord, may your love comfort them. And I pray for Ida, for many of these relatives do not know Jesus yet. And so as she expressed her love for you, may this impact their lives as well. Father, we thank you that you not only forgive us of our sins, but you give us purpose in life. And we thank you, Lord, for Reverend Charles Fox and what he's doing at the community church in Bowie, Maryland. Lord, restore to him his health. Restore to him the joy of salvation. And give to his congregation that hope as they witness the walk of their pastor. Their hope may be rekindled as well. Father, we are grateful for this season of Christmas, for your gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came for that purpose, solely to save us from our sins and to reestablish our relationship with you. Father, forgive us when we have neglected you in the busyness of life. Forgive us when we have placed other things before you. Lord, you are God, you are King, you are the Lord of Lords. And so we once more this morning want to say we do surrender that position to you. Lord, take back what we have taken away. That is your Lordship, your kingship. Father, we are grateful for where we are as a people, as a country. And Lord, we do remember those who do not know you. And so we pray for the couple, for Suyat and the family as they go back as in Cambodia. Lord, that you open the doors for them. Lord, for years they have been toiling at the border. And Lord, we pray that many doors for the gospel will be open to them. Give them good health and protect them from those who want to harass them. And we pray, Lord, that you give them many souls that will come into your kingdom. And so, Father, we pray for Reverend Julio Orozco as he brings Rexford your word. Lord, speak to us in a very powerful, mighty way, and that we can surrender our wills unto you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're privileged to have Pastor Julio back with us and his wife, Ivana. Good to have you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. Good morning, family. It's great to be here. Greetings in Jesus. the phrase that comes to my mind as we watch the video of this Cambodian sister is the phrase lost and hopeless. And as we meditate about this question today, it's not a question for you to answer it in quantitative way, because love cannot be measured by numbers. But we're going to try to put some numbers today. How's that? How does that sound for you? Let's try it. How much do you love your neighbor? And when I place that question to you all and myself this morning, I want us to think about that person, that one, that we spoke about it about three Sundays ago. Remember? It's one message. It's one by one and by one by one. For me, I know who that person is. And I've been praying for that person. For you, I don't know who that person is. But you do. And as we go through this question, which is more like a reflexive kind of questions, I want you to think really hard. And as we go through, I want you to pray for that person who's coming to your mind right now. When we see life as it is, and we see our surrounding, there's not much hope. When we watch the news and when we see what's going on in the world, all the shootings that's been taking place, and you gotta be scared. I've been praying for our country, for this nation, great nation, and I've been praying for our families and children to be protected and to be secure, whatever they are through weekdays. But when you think about what's going on right now, it's a hopeless world. It's not that much of all. But praise God that when we come to the Scriptures, and when we read verses like the one that I'm going to be using today, greater love has no one than this, that he, and here, I want to think about each one of us. I know that the verse primarily makes a strong correlation to what Jesus did. Because he's the one who did this very verse for us. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And many people, I don't know about you, but many people have come forward and asked the question, but I'm not Jesus. I'm not going to die like Jesus on the cross. I'm not going to put my life down and be killed for somebody else. And yet that is true. We are called to serve and to give ourselves in sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 is one of those verses that comes to my mind when it comes to serving. But you know, Jesus, in a very objective way, in practical way, demonstrated this love for each of us. He said that His plan and His purpose was not everything that He did in between since He began His ministry and to the end. His purpose and His plan was always, even before the world was made, the Bible says, the cross. That was His plan. His death on the cross for you and I, for you and me. So He demonstrated this love. And when He was hanging on the cross and opened up His arms, you know, I have a granddaughter. Her name is Camila. She's 3 years old. And I ask her from time to time, Camila, how much do you love Grandpa? And she said, Grandpa, I love you this much. She said, and Camila, I asked her, and how much is that, Camila? That's a lot of love, Grandpa. She said, and she fills my heart with a lot of joy every time she goes like this. And I think about Jesus when He opened up His arms on the cross. And you and I being hopeless, and you and I being lost forever, saying, I'm here, demonstrated my love for you so that you may have hope, so that you may enjoy life. So Jesus demonstrated His love in a very practical way, in a very objective way, dying on the cross for each one of us. And I was that young person. I share with you my testimony. I was hopeless. Even though I grew up in a Christian home, and I remember receiving Christ as my personal Savior when I was 7. But when my dad passed away, I left the church. And I was angry, and my heart became empty. And nothing in the world, and anything I did in the world, satisfied me. And one day, 3 friends of mine that came to visit me at home, at my house, asked that question, do you have hope? And I had to be honest with myself. And I said, no, I don't. And I remember that day surrendering my life to Christ again. And that was the day God transformed my life completely. That happened approximately 40 years ago. But why? Because Jesus did it for me. I didn't do anything. I just was prompted by the power of the Holy Spirit to respond to His message. To that message, to that prophecy that we all remember in Isaiah chapter 53. But He was pierced by our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. And I was healed. I was healed spiritually. I was healed emotionally. But I was also healed physically. Because the provision God made for us in this very verse, it's not only to receive salvation and to receive peace and hope and joy, but also to receive healing if we're sick. We still believe that God is at work and that He's still healing our bodies. So that's why we pray every Sunday that those who are sick may experience healing. So in Jesus, we experience all the blessings that God intended for us. So He demonstrated that love, and He demonstrated that love in a very practical way, in a very objective way. The question is, how are we demonstrating this love towards others? How am I demonstrating this love for that person that came to your mind when I popped that question this morning. Who that person is, and how are you demonstrating that love? See, it's not only demonstrated, it's not only a practical way, it's not only trying to do the best for your friend, but it is also bringing hope to everyone living in this world. Because even though it's one by one, yet we are called not to forget the entire world. We have a mission to fulfill, beginning here with us and going there and over there and beyond. So it's a global as well as local missions. And that mission is perpetuated by you and I because there is a commandment that we spoke about it last time, Matthew chapter 28. So God is the one who initiated all this, and He will continue to fulfill His plan, but He wants to use us. There is this verse, for example, that helps us to understand in a deeper way. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory is Jesus in us, the hope of glory. And the most important thing, and I want you to remember this, that it's not only a demonstration, like I've been repeating myself, but it's also the challenge God is placing in each one of us, personally and corporally as a church, to be, as a local church, the hope of this world. Just as He was the hope and He died on the cross, He is expecting us to become or to be the hope of this world. Why am I saying this? Because look what it says in this verse, for example. John 17:20-21. He said, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one." That's corporate. That's the church. And I'm a strong believer that Jesus was praying for us in this verse 2,000 years ago. He included you and I in this verse. And He goes on and says, "Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also," plural, "may they also be in us, so that the world," singular, "may believe that you sent me." That the world may believe that you sent me. So Jesus wants us to be the hope of the world. And He prayed for unity that take place among each one of us, His followers. So let me ponder a little bit about this word that I've been referring to, hope, and we light the candle of hope again. Thank you for doing that, because it reminded me that I had a sermon to preach on hope today. And this hope that was given to us, it's the hope that you and I are called corporately to share with our neighbors, wherever they are or whatever that person is right now. So I was thinking about this word, hope, and the Hebrew root for this word, it's chord. The translation, it's chord. But a chord by itself doesn't make sense. But when a chord is attached to something real hard, that something, in this case, that someone or somebody became really, really attached to that chord, which in the Hebrew word is hope. And just as grace was imputed to us, faith was imputed to us, joy is imputed to us, and everything else has been imputed to us, the same way hope has been given to us, so that we might experience hope today as opposed to the cultural thought when we talk about hope. When we talk about hope in our daily life, we talk about hope in a wishful sense. Oh, I wish that today will not snow, for example. It's a strong desire, a thing that we want and desire. Well, biblically speaking, that's not hope. Hope is that Christ Jesus our Lord is the cord that has been attached to me as Julio and to you personally, so that we, even though go through trials and temptations, we know with certainty that we have hope in Christ today and tomorrow. And it doesn't matter what happened to us, we have hope today and tomorrow. So I just wanted to share with you this very word hope, because Jesus prayed for that unity in hope that we as his followers will take his commandment to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, as we take care of ourselves. And just as the way we take care of ourselves, we are to take care of those who are around us. And you may be asking, in a practical way, Pastor Julio, ask me, myself, whatever your name is, just put your name there. How can I do that? I don't know how to do it. I understand the biblical terms. I understand even the theology of being given and the core and how that was attached to me. And I praise the Lord. And I know now that I'm getting a better understanding of my roots in Christ and my growing in Him. Praise the Lord for that. But how can I do it in a very practical way on a daily basis? Let me conclude with four things that I think I want to leave for all of you. The first one is, getting out of your comfort zone to spend time with people. You know, being in our comfort zone, it's a dangerous place to be. Because being in our comfort zone means that we are satisfied with the things that we have accomplished. Being in our comfort zone means that we are happy with the life that I'm living, and that I just couldn't care less about others around me. That there are some other ways that they can fulfill their needs. But I'm not going to move anything in order for them to experience the hope that I'm experiencing. And it's just difficult to get out of our comfort zone. But it's a decision that at some point, if we want to be followers of Christ in a very practical way, that we have to do. That we are called to do. It's not a suggestion. We are called to do one thing and one thing only. And that is to proclaim Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. So that people's faith may be grounded not in our own, the Apostle Paul says, but in Jesus Christ, who's the hope of this world. The second one is interceding so others may come to know Jesus. How is your prayer life? Are you praying for that one person that you know that don't know Christ and is living a hopeless life? They haven't experienced salvation through Christ. Are you praying for your friend? Are you praying for your classmate? Are you praying for your co-worker? Are you praying for somebody who may need to experience salvation? As we rise and build, I think this is very important for us to understand. That if we want to see these chairs full of people, we need to rise and we need to go and we need to go and tell them, hey, there is hope in Jesus. The Bible says, go. The way we do evangelism nowadays is, whomever comes to church, we evangelize that person. And if he or she receives Christ, hey, we're doing great. Praise the Lord. And yet, that is a great blessing when somebody comes to know Jesus and visiting us and receive Christ. We are called to go out. So, and going out means that you're going to go and be discerning about people's needs. And hear what they are saying and where they are emotionally and spiritually. And take them from there to where they ought to be in Christ. So intercession and prayer, it's a powerful tool when it comes to evangelistic approach, when it comes to sharing our faith with others. We need to do it prayerfully. How am I going to do it? Well, get out of your comfort zone. Pray. Those are practical tools that we have. We have more. Pray that Jesus may call you to a specific location. I think God can do that. You remember when Jesus was going on his way to Samaria, Galilee, and he has to pass through Samaria? There was a lady at the well, and he started a conversation with her. And you're not supposed to do that. Not only because Samaritans and Jewish did not get along, but also because she was a woman. And he was breaking all the rules and cultural standards. But yet, I believe that everything that Jesus did, he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he was led to that conversation with the woman at the well. Sometimes God will call us to places where we don't want to go, or call us to people whom we don't like. And yet, in the midst of all those things that we want and desire, He is calling us to break down the rules of culture and social standards and status. Because it's more important one person coming to know Jesus as his or her personal Savior than my own way of doing things. So we have to die. That's what I'm basically saying. We have to die and be uncomfortable. That's okay being uncomfortable with somebody that I don't like. So pray that Jesus may call me today to a specific work. And I know we have gifts and talents and we have many ways how to serve the Lord. But I think the church has a mission that it has double, it's twofold. It's inside for Christians to grow, and it's outside for people to come to know Jesus Christ. It's not either or, it's both. And we have a mission to fulfill. Period. A mission to fulfill. And I'm convinced that it's the church is not bringing people to Christ. Listen to what I'm going to say. That church is destined to disappear eventually. So, and it's nothing personal here. You cannot say, I don't have the gift of evangelism. I cannot do it. You don't have to go. I told you the other Sunday that I preach on preaching the one-to-one message to one person to one. That you don't have to go to school. That the best tool that you have is your own spiritual journey. If you have received salvation and transformation through Jesus Christ, and you pray that God will use you to bring another person to that same experience, it will happen. It will happen. Let me add one more. And that has to do with growing in your intimate relationship with God, vertically and horizontally. And how does that happen? Well, through what I'm just been saying all this morning, praying, being practical, being aware that people in the world outside are hopeless and we have hope, and we were given that hope in Jesus, and so we are called to give that hope to this world. The church, ultimately, brothers and sisters, is the hope of this church. And if we're not doing that job, we are going to be called to account by God. Yeah, believe me, it's going to happen. So there is this way I put it. Love is equal to passion plus action. And if I want to put some numbers to be objective in terms of how much do I love my neighbor, and concluding with answering the question at the beginning of my sermon, well, this is the way it goes. If you love God and stay there, you become so spiritual that you disattach from the reality of this world. So the more you love God, and the more you become more spiritually focused kind of person, you will forget that you are in this world. And you might become so puritan in your own thoughts and so spiritual in your own ways that you are completely disattached from your neighbor. Am I making sense here? So, if I don't love God, that means that I'm not growing spiritually, and that I'm just there, average kind of a believer. But, so you move up and down in that vertical line, and you measure yourself where you are spiritually at this point. But that will be revealed horizontally, right there. So, the more I love God, and the more I love my neighbor, the growing that we will experience personally and corporately will be exponential. I think this has a light, right? From here, you start measure your growth. Not here, because you become so spiritual that you forget your neighbor. And not here, because doing social gospel here and doing so much fun here will forget this area right here. So it's not either or, it's both and, so that the growth will be exponential. So let me conclude with this statement. Ladies and gentlemen, if this world perishes, let that not be our fault. Let's go and love God and love our neighbor and bring the hope to those who are hopeless. Because just as the way you were hopeless and I was hopeless, somebody brought us the message. Let's go get them. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge that it's before us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us what we need to continue to do the ministry. Thank you for your provision and your protection. Thank you for giving us this hope, eternal hope, to be experienced here on earth and to be experienced even though we leave this world. Thank you. Thank you. And we know that there are a lot of people out there that have no hope. They are lost. They need to be found. And they need to be rich. So Lord, help us. Help us. Give us a passion and compassion for them. Give us love. More love for you and more love for our neighbors. And help us to fulfill the Great Commission. For your honor, for your glory, for your kingdom. Because after all, it's about your kingdom. You said in your word, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. And that's what we want to do. Have a mindset focused in the kingdom of God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.